Tonight, take your Bibles and turn to Ezra chapter 8. Ezra chapter 8. The title of my sermon tonight is Risking All on God. Risking All on God. We're looking at Ezra chapter 8, verses 21 through 23. In way of background, when Israel went into captivity in Babylon, there were three separate groups of people that went to captivity. After 70 years, it was prophesied by Jeremiah, these groups came out. There were three groups that went in. There were three groups that came out. The first group that came out was led by Zerubbabel. And he was the governor of that time, and he was to build a temple. Later on, there was conflict and there was dissension, and the temple stopped building. And also, the town walls were not good. The city walls were not good. The second group were led by Nehemiah. And then there were still adversaries there, and there was still animosity there for the people around. And there was a need for revival. And so there was a third group sent out by Ezra. And so Ezra leads this third group of people, and they are on the cusp of starting the journey back to Jerusalem. That puts you in the time frame and the setting for this passage. And in Ezra chapter 8, verses 21 through 23, it says, "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God, to seek of Him a right way for us, and for our little ones, and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, The hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek Him, but His power and wrath is against all them that forsake Him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and He was entreated for us." Ezra and his people were facing danger. This starts on the first month of the year. And what he had done, he had called all these people, and they were supposed to meet at this city of Ahava. When he started counting the first time, and you can look up in Ezra 8, he didn't find any Levites. He said, "We need some Levites to go with us." And so later on, they find some. And so now they're getting this group of people at the town of Ahava, okay? And Ahava is right here to the northwest of Babylon. They now have to go from here all the way over to Jerusalem. Now, most of these people, they were descendants of those in captivity. Jeremiah said, when you go into captivity, you build houses, you have families, you just keep on going, and then God will deliver you. Kind of like what happened to Israel in the wilderness when that older generation died off. So now they're all over there, and they are facing danger. They experienced anxiety there. They had good reasons to fear for their lives. It was going to be a long trip for them. The Bible accounts that it takes 4 months for them to get to Jerusalem. And you know that area. It's all desert. It's all desert. It's an unknown way. You know, God, when God calls us to go places, it might be to the unknown. It may not be the place that's well traveled. In fact, it shouldn't be. Paul was like that all the time. The third thing was that there's enemies along the way. And so we need to understand that Ezra and that whole group of people that were numbered there were facing danger. You know, we also go through worrisome periods of danger. We experience anxiety over our adversaries. You know, we might have adversaries of illness. We might have depression. We might have financial setback. All these things burden us. And it brings anxiety in our lives because we don't know what's going to happen next. We just don't know what's going to happen next. But you know, when God is leading us, it doesn't matter if there's adversaries in the way. God's got a better way and God's got a better plan and He'll get you through it. When Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, when he was writing it from Ephesus, he was in a strait there. He was actually thrown into the beast there. You can read the Bible and he talks about that. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, Paul writes this. He looks beyond that anxiety. He looks beyond all those things. He says, "And a great door, an effectual, is open to me, and there are many adversaries, but I don't care, because God's called me here." Ezra and this whole group of people are facing all these dangers, but they don't care. They know that God has sent them to Jerusalem for revival. They know that God has sent them there to encourage the people. And that was where God wanted them. And all the times that we go into the unknown, sometimes there's anxiety. You know, anxiety robs us of joy, robs us of peace, robs us of health. And if you're a student in high school right now getting ready for finals, it's robbing you of sleep. Maybe. Maybe. But we've all been there. There's all sorts of things that makes us anxious. And the thing is, we're supposed to be what? Be careful or anxious for nothing. It's what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4. We're supposed to cast all our cares on Him. We know in Psalm 127 verse 2, it says, "It's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the what? To eat the bread of sorrows." Okay? Now, that's not talking about laying in bed all the time and waking up at 9 o'clock in the morning. For Ricky. Huh? 9? Oh, it's worse? Never mind. See, he's not anxious. He's not anxious. He's not rising up early to do that. But the issue is, God wants us to put our faith in Him. Amen. Our anxieties are tests of faith. Our adversaries are tests of faith. To see if we would give up and give in, or if we'll go through. The issue is which one will we do? You know, so he's leading, Ezra is leading these people. He's got them all assembled here. And now it's time to start the journey. In our passage here, in verse 21, he's leading his people and seeking God. So if you have anxiety, you need to seek God. If you have danger that you're facing, you need to seek God. If there's adversaries out there, you need to seek God. If you're facing the unknown and you just don't know where God wants to lead you, you need to seek Him. And Ezra calls for fasting and prayer. He looks for help in times of danger. A lot of people today would just let it happen and say, "Oh no, He's here. What am I going to do about it?" You know, he looks up like the psalmist. In Psalm 121 verses 1 and 3, he says, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills." This morning we talked about the signs of the time. It says, when you see these things start to happen, look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. When you see danger on the horizon, look up, because God's got deliverance. When you start feeling anxious because the adversary is gone, look up, because God's got a plan for you. "But I lift up my eyes into the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which hath made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber." This was a time for desperate praying. In verse 21 it says here, to seek, because for a right way for who? Us. And for our little ones and for all our stuff. All our substance here. It was danger was out there and awaiting. Everything precious to them was on the line. Now, I showed you where Ahava was. I showed you where Jerusalem was. There were two routes to get there. When Zerubbabel went back to Jerusalem, he went up and just went along the Euphrates River and then came down this river and went into Jerusalem. That's the safe way. But sometimes we need to get there quick. And that wasn't the quick way. This is the way that Nehemiah went, and this is the way that Ezra was contemplating to go. Basically, this way, through the desert. Now, there's a lot of problems there. If you remember Nehemiah when he's building the walls, all these people over here don't want Jerusalem to get rebuilt. When Zerubbabel went back and started laying the foundations for the temple, all these people over here became adversaries. So Ezra and the whole group of people are going to have to travel through a land where they weren't welcome. And so danger awaits them. Everything that was precious to them was on the line. But that didn't stop them. You know, a lot of people today said, I ain't going to do this. But Ezra knew that the call of God was on him. Everybody that was in that group knew that God was on their side. And it didn't matter what they were going to have to do. They were going to follow through with God. Oh, if we would have that today. Oh, if we would have that today. So he calls for fasting and prayer. And then he basically says, it's a time for desperate praying. Because the problems are big. You know, heroes of the faith have sought God in desperate times. David in Psalm 27 verse 8 says, when thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. You know, when a problem comes on the horizon, that's God getting our attention, saying, seek my face. But is our heart in it? When you see an adversary coming on, or an enemy coming on, or something going on that might distress you, that's a test. God's saying, seek ye my face. But is your heart saying, I don't know if I can go through with it or not. There's all sorts of things that we face. And David said, when thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said within thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. You can't win this battle of faith thinking about it. It comes from the heart. It comes from the heart. Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 9, says, with my soul I have desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee, what? Early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the habitation of the earth will learn righteousness. He says, I will seek ye. I'll desire you in the night. I'll desire you early in the morning. Before I get started like Ezra. Before we get on this journey, let's seek God. Folks, before you make a major decision in your life, seek God. Before you make a minor decision in your life, seek God. How? Before you make any decision in your life, see if it aligns with God's will and aligns with God's word. Daniel gets a vision of end time prophecy. He starts praying by the river. And he prays 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 because he doesn't understand. You know, sometimes all these things happen. We just don't understand what's going on in our lives. That's a warning that we need to seek God and have Him in our heart. And in Daniel 9 verse 3, it says, and I set my face unto the Lord God, to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. See, it's just not just adding another word to your dinner prayer. It's getting right down to business with God. And so Ezra calls for this because he knew that it's going to be prayer and fasting. The disciples were told that sometimes you have to pray and fast in order to get the spiritual victory over things. And so we see that it's a tried and true method. especially in desperate times. Everybody's gone through this. So Ezra leads his people in seeking God. Now let's put this on a personal note. Maybe your kids are struggling. Mom and dad, it's your responsibility to say, let's pray about this. Maybe you have a brother or sister that's having some issue. Maybe this is a time that we should pray about this and show that God works in all these situations for everyone if they would just seek Him and have a relationship with Him. So, Ezra leads his people, we lead people too. And we need to do the same thing because there's a lot of danger out there. We see the signs. There's a lot of danger out there. Those who earnestly seek God find Him. Those who earnestly seek God find Him. Jeremiah 29 verse 13 says this, "And ye shall seek me and find me." And then there's a comma. And then there's a condition. When? "Ye shall search for me with all your heart." I'll pray for you, but my prayer for you is not going to be as effective as you praying for you. It says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man works much. But we're all supposed to be people of prayer. Only you know what you're going through, and God. And you need to tell God what you're feeling. So Ezra leads his people to seek God. Secondly, in verse 22, Ezra leads his people in surrendering to God. So this is a dangerous trip. There are adversaries. There's enemies along the way. They could get robbed. You know? Lions, tigers, and bears. Oh my! But the issue is sometimes we make a decision. We know what God wants us to do. And we start trying to do it and get ready for it. And then the temptation comes in to try to seek another easier way. To try to seek another way to maybe people solve this instead of others. So Ezra leads his people in surrendering to God. The temptation here is to look to people instead for help instead of God. It says here, it says, "For I was ashamed." It didn't make sense to Ezra to go to the king. And here's the way, here's the reason why. Because of what he had already told the king. Because he had made this great statement of faith. The king said, "Hey, you want some soldiers? Hey, you want some protection?" So the king could help them. Soldiers could be their salvation. But look at what verse 22 says. It says, "Because we had spoken to the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek Him. But His power and His wrath is against all them that forsake Him." What did Paul write to Romans? If God be for us, who can be against us? "No weapon is fashioned against you shall stand." All these prophets, David himself, made mention of this in the Psalm. In Psalm 118 verse 9, it says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." So let's get right down to the nitty gritty on this. Sometimes we know what God wants us to do, and we know it up here, but it's not down here. And then we get caught between a rock and a hard place. We get caught between a rock and a hard place because we don't want to go ask for help because we've already made this great statement. Now, this is not pride on Ezra's part. He wanted the people to understand that God's with them. He wanted the people to understand that God's going to protect them. He wanted people to say, no matter how long the journey, no matter where it was going, no matter what the way is, no matter where the adversaries were, God was there. That's how revival happens, folks. They were going to go back and have revival in Jerusalem. And so those people going back need to understand the trust in God. So there is a temptation here to look to people for help and said, but their testimony for God was at stake here. They had told the king of God's power. They had testified of God's faithfulness in the past. And so why can you say this now and then all of a sudden say, yeah, on second thought, let us have some soldiers here. What does that say about your faith? What does it say about your trust? See, in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, it says, and they overcame him. Who's the him? Satan, the Antichrist. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. The three Hebrew children, when given a last chance, one more chance to escape, all I had to do is just bow down to the image. Nope. We're not going to do it. We're not going to do it. We had already thought this through. Ezra and all those people had thought this through, said, we didn't ask for help in the beginning, and we're not going to ask for help now. See, faith is going through something. It's not to be abandoned when it gets tough. It's not to be abandoned when it gets tough. So their testimony for God was at stake. They chose to risk all for on God and faith. This morning we used a lot of verses out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We know that talking about the resurrection was an opportunity that Paul got to speak to people, because it was a novel concept and some people just didn't flat believe it. And so in this chapter where he's talking about the resurrection, the power of God, and the need for this, and it's the basis for our faith. He says, and why stand we in jeopardy every hour? He goes on and says, hey, I fought beasts in Ephesus. These things, I've been thrown in jail. I've been shipwrecked. I've been all these other things to me. And I do that because God wanted me to go there. God wanted me to go do this. And it didn't really matter what that is. They chose to risk all for God in faith. James chapter 1 verse 6 and 7 says, but let him what? Ask in faith, nothing wavering. Folks, when you ask God to do something, you need to honestly believe that it's done. Where two or three on earth agree in one thing, the same is agreed and bound in heaven. When we need to pray, we need to pray expecting God to answer and God to do His will for His glory. When we know what God wants us to do, we don't stop doing it. We just keep on going. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. There is no turning back. You have to go forward, forgetting those things which are behind. I press forward to the mark, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Their testimonies were at stake. Ezra led the people into seeking God. Danger should drive us to God. And when we see the adversary, it should drive us to God by prayer and fasting and calling out to Him. Ezra leads his people in surrendering. Don't change tracks halfway through. If you know what God wants you to do, then you need to do it. Because people are watching. People are watching. Would we have dared to do the same? Do we trust God or humans when the situation is serious? What causes us to turn our back? You need to move that antenna down 90 degrees. Do we expect God to come through when we need Him to? So, Ezra leads his people in surrendering to God. Would we have done the same? Lastly, God saves Ezra and his people. Why not? He's God! He said He was going to do it. It says here that they prayed to God and God was entreated for them. And God meets people where they are. You don't change the situation. You let God change the situation. You don't change the circumstances. You let God change the circumstances. You sit there and you go one step at a time, letting God's word light you that way. And you find out where God wants you to go. God meets people where He hears your prayer as He's promised to do. He responds to seeking hearts. This text pictures two things. The first thing is this text pictures salvation. You know why? Because sin puts us in grave danger. Sin without forgiveness, unforgiving sin, puts you in dire danger. And it should cause us to follow God and call out and seek Him and seek His salvation. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25 says this, wherefore He is able also to what? Save them to the what? Uttermost. Doesn't matter how much unknown is out there. Doesn't matter how much danger is out there. Doesn't matter how many sins you have committed in your life. Doesn't matter what you've had in your past. God can save you out of that. God can save you out of that. So this text pictures salvation. This text also pictures deliverance. Psalm 18 verse 3 says, I will call upon the Lord, who is what? Worthy to be praised. So shall I what? Be saved from my enemies. So like Paul Harvey says, what's the rest of the story? The rest of the story is found in verse 31 of Ezra chapter 8. Then we departed from the river of Ahava on the 12th day of the first month to go unto Jerusalem. And the hand of our God was upon us. And He delivered us from the hand of the enemy and of such as lay in wait by the way. God protected him from the known enemies. God protected him from the unknown enemies. God led them on the way that they needed to go. And they got there all in one piece. The issue is, do we find ourselves in a place of danger tonight? You know, God loves us. And He's going to come through for us. Isaiah chapter 59 verse 1 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. One night, Jonathan wanted to make a little bit of a raid on the Philistines. And he went to his armor bearer and he said, you know, let's just kind of go down here and just kind of fight them. And armor bearer said yes, because he knew that Jonathan's followed God. And Jonathan said that he'll save either with what? Many or with few. We don't need to know how God's going to do it. We just need to know that God will do it. We don't need to know the details. You get all wrapped up in that. Because sometimes the details might be as scary as the danger we're facing. but God will take us through. Seek the Lord and His salvation and His deliverance today. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, I just ask that You just help us, Lord, to seek You. Father, I pray that if someone here does not know You as Savior, someone on the internet does not know You, that they would ask for the prayer, they would say the prayer of forgiveness and ask You to forgive their sin because of Your death on the cross. Believe You were buried for 3 days, and on the third day You rose again. And now You sit at the right hand of God, offering forgiveness and salvation to all who ask. And that they would quit trusting themselves, Lord, in other things, that they just put their trust in You. Lord, for us, I pray that You just help us, Lord, to put our trust in You tonight. Lord, that we can go and we can face danger, Lord, with the confidence that You know where we are. And Your promise that You will never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, be with us time of invitation. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.